Nedbank has given shareholders a reason to smile. That's as it hiked its interim dividend by 81% to 7.83 rand. The move comes as it delivered a 26% jump in headline earnings per share on the back of a good showing from most of its divisions, including the corporate and investment banking unit, as well as its Africa regions business. Joining me now as we dig deeper into the lender's performance is Nedbank's CFO, Mike Davis. Thank you so much for your time, Mark. Mike's color scheme was actually on a purpose, so hope you appreciate. That's good. So let's take a look at the performance, and just at the top of it, I mean, we saw the divergence in the economic growth dynamics in the first half, of course, between the first quarter and the second quarter. In the first quarter, South Africa really benefited from the strong terms of trade. We saw 1.9% growth in GDP. But then you had all these challenges coming in the second quarter, including the KZN floods and also the escalated load shedding that we saw. And you do note in your results commentary that you expect a contraction of 1.2% in the second quarter. Talk to me, though, about the factors that underpinned your metrics that led to that stellar performance.
Yeah, so I think first of all, you raise a very valid point. It certainly is two very distinct or different quarters. Quarter one was that strong growth momentum off the back of 2021, as you've correctly highlighted. And then, you know, quarter two was definitely a tougher quarter, as we saw the higher levels of load shedding. We saw higher levels of inflation. We've seen higher interest rates, and that has made it tougher on the consumer. But if you look across the half, we've seen, you know, reasonably strong growth in top line revenue across both net interest margin and across non-interest revenue, and also across the associate income line. We've seen good cost discipline across all of our business units, translating into basically costs growing well below revenue growth, you know, 7% versus 11%. And then from a cost of risk perspective, or a bad debt or impairment perspective, you saw a reasonably small increase of 3-odd% across the impairment line. So positive, strong positive pre-provisioning operating profit, a reduction in the cost to income ratio, and you know, really a stellar or strong performance in line with guidance we've given market. And as you correctly highlight, leading to, I think, you know, shareholders are going to be very pleased with an 81% increase in dividends.
Indeed. Yeah. So your headline earnings, no surprise, they're up 27%, but 3% below the pre-pandemic levels. And of course, you mentioned that dividend, which was quite a pleasant surprise for shareholders. 81% surge in that from last year. Also in addition, a 9% addition to the pre-COVID payout. The bank really declaring its confidence in navigating the difficult environment. I mean, how much sweeter can the sweet spot get?
So I think you'll find that in the second half, you're not going to see those sorts of levels of growth. So you're likely to see the growth in the second half of the bank certainly not being at the levels of 27%. I think on the plus side, we're hoping for stronger growth in our CRB business throughout the half, as we saw a number of deals that we expected to translate in the first half that didn't, and those have pushed into the second half. I think we're likely to continue to experience similar growth in our RBB business across the second half versus the first half. We're hoping for a slightly stronger trading performance in the second half. So, you know, I think you're going to see good growth in the second half, but you're not going to see the type of growth you've seen in the first half.
All right. I want to take a look at your lending side. I mean, an analyst earlier on also said that I should ask you a question about your credit extension amid the high interest rates environment. So just first of all, I mean, you mentioned that you had small increases in bad debts. You also had gross banking loans and advances increasing by 7%. Before I go into the outlook, how encouraging was that number?
Yeah, so I think 7% was encouraging point in time, but when you look at the average growth in loans and advances, and the CIB business was still low, because we saw some of that growth in the CIB business only translate late in Q2. So that'll obviously run rate into the second half. So slightly softer growth than we had hoped for from the CIB business in the first half, and I think you're likely to see that pick up in the second half. As I mentioned, RBB probably likely to keep growing at around about 6-7%.
Okay.
And I must admit, the consumer has really held up well in light of the recent rate increases and higher levels of inflation. So we would expect certainly slightly stronger growth in the second half on an average loans and advances perspective.
So the consumer is still holding up quite well, but I'm quite interested in how much caution the bank is applying in that regard in an economy, you know, that's growing so slow. I mean, looking at your forecast of 1.8% of GDP growth for 2022, even lower than the 2% that's forecast by the SARB.
Yeah, so I think again, that second half, we'll see how it pans out with regards to the consumer. We are expecting a further 75 basis points of rate hikes into half two. So that's likely to put some pressure on the ability to grow, particularly in that consumer segment. But again, I keep going back to CIB because I think there's really good opportunities in that part of our business, particularly in the energy space, in the infrastructure space, particularly given obviously the real strong focus by our government and by our clients on whether it be embedded energy or obviously on the recent energy plan announced by the president. So I think we're going to see opportunities in the second half as a result.
We have about 30 seconds, Mike, but I quickly just want to go into something I think it's not widely spoken about. So I actually had an interview recently with RMB about it. The SARB's framework from a cash deficit system to a cash surplus system. And I'm actually interested to find out from one of the big banks in terms of how much of a boost in your balance sheet will that provide?
I think the real way to look at moving into a cash surplus monetary policy situation is that it is likely to create, first of all, additional liquidity in the system. Secondly, it is likely to push the short end of the cost of funding downwards. So I think net-net, it takes a burden off the central bank, and effectively, I think if anything, it's net positive for our monetary policy system and net positive for the banks.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much for that. Just walking us through your performance and your outlook for the rest of the year. That was the CFO of Nedbank, Mike Davis.